Hey everybody, welcome to today's episode of Micah's Call. I'm Matt Pierce, and today's show is going to be tough. Because the truth is never sexy, right? And probably we're not talking about these things, especially in our big churches, that depend on the offering plate a lot. We're not talking about these topics. But these are topics that people down here on the grassroots level struggle with every single day. And today we're going to dive a little deeper into these spiritual themes and these practical impacts of our lives. And today is no different. We're going to talk about the profound concept of mercy, justice, and forgiveness, themes that resonate throughout the core of the Christian faith and our Western societal values. Join me. This is going to be interesting. Boy, these topics are never easy. But again, like I said in the intro, these are things that real people deal with every single day. It's not a sermon series. It's not something canned, you know. It's not something that you just pull out of thin air. These are real topics. And I believe that these are things that the church, the body of Christ, needs to be talking about. And so again, welcome to today's show. But in our faith, the Christian faith, the narrative of redemption holds a very central place to everything that we believe. It's a narrative where divine mercy and justice are not opposing forces, but are beautifully brought together for the greater good. You know, according to Christian theology, which I've studied quite a bit, particularly noticeable in Anglican and Episcopalian traditions, Jesus' sacrifice on the cross is really the ultimate testament to his reconciliation for us. It's where mercy speaks by blood, offering forgiveness and peace, and where justice is satisfied. End. And that happens as Christ makes the full atonement for humanity's sins. You know, and I believe that this very profound act allows for peace of conscience in peace with God, together, obtained through Christ's sacrificial love. This, what we're talking about here is a model of how divine justice, rather than merely punitive, is restorative and transformative. And the reality of it is, people can say that they forgive us all day long, but they really don't. It's what we've been cultured and conditioned to believe. So, in a world where punishments don't have to be punitive, because that's what we've been told, we need to think of how we can be more Christ-like and restore the person and transform the person who actually did the offense. So in contrast to this divine example that I've given you, our society, especially here in the West, our approach to justice often leans very heavily on retribution. Think about the motto. It's on every courthouse, every police car, you name it. In God we trust. It's all over every legal institution, especially in America, right? This suggests a divine endorsement of our actions. In other words, whatever we do under the guise of the law of man, God will just somehow endorse it. But our practices sometimes reflect a struggle to embody the forgiving and restorative aspect of justice that our Christian faith advocates for. So while it's undeniably essential to uphold laws and ensure the safety and rights of everyone, there's a compelling discussion to be had about how often our punitive measures aim to rehabilitate and restore rather than merely punish and just say, you messed up. You screwed up, bro. And now you're going to pay. That's the Western world. They would deny this. The Western world, the Western theory of law and justice would deny this. They would say, well, we're trying to be rehabilitative. We're trying to put the people right back on the good path. Call it like it is. Baloney. The concept that we are free to make our own choices, but not free to choose our consequences here, often leads to a punitive way of doing it, rather than restorative, right? So, we're free to make our own choices, but not free to choose our consequences, and then we say, well, I'm doing this in love. Bleh. You are? Bleh. Doesn't even make sense. It doesn't. It does not make sense. You see, let's talk about this. In our lawful societies, where we strive to defend victims and uphold justice, we have to ask ourselves, are we reflecting? Listen to this question. Are we reflecting the mercy that speaks by Jesus' blood? I'm telling you, you cannot work in the legal system and in clear conscience say that you're following the redemptive mercy of Jesus' blood. Mm-mm. Can't be done. It can't be done. Because this is not to say, listen, this is not to say that wrongdoing shouldn't go unaddressed, okay? Instead, it challenges us. What I'm asking you here challenges us to consider how our responses to wrongdoing can be aligned more closely with the principles of forgiveness and restoration shown in our religious teachings. The Western philosophy of justice says three strikes and you're out. The Bible says turn the other cheek. It doesn't say turn the other cheek three times. It just says keep turning. Keep that head swiveling. Keep it going. You see, in the narrative of our faith, even when the law is against us, mercy speaks louder. This is symbolized by the belief that all debts are cast onto Christ. All punishment is given unto Christ. If you really believe in Christ, He'll take care of it. And Christ declares the ultimate freedom from those debts. So how can our societal system embody this balance of justice that really holds individuals accountable, but offers them a path of redemption? Well, I know there's a lot of police and judges and prosecutors and lawyers and Supreme Court people probably sitting out there saying, yeah, but he's so full of it. He's so full of it, he just doesn't understand the law. Well, as members of the faith community and as citizens, there are several ways that we can promote a more balanced approach to justice in our society. Number one, advocate for reform. Engaging in or supporting movements is what I'm talking about. Things that advocate for criminal justice reform, focusing on rehabilitation and restorative justice practices, not just out there, well, we got to punish this guy. He committed murder. Let's punish him. This is the only answer for this crime. You are an evil man. Okay, leave it in the Western, all right? Something else you could do, community involvement. Participate in community outreach programs that support reintegration of individuals who have served their sentences, just or unjust. The next thing I think you need to do is look at educational initiatives. Promote educational efforts within our community that highlight the importance of mercy and forgiveness in our justice system. That's three things you can do right there. Advocate, become involved in the community, and support educational initiatives that reform people. Because let me tell you something. Who are you to sit there? Look, let me tell you something. I know a lot of cops. I know a lot of cops, and I know a lot of judges, and I know a lot of lawyers. Boy, and they call themselves Christians. Yeah, buddy. In God they trust. Yeah. Yeah. You know, it, and again, on this whole thing of being non-judgmental, you can't judge the heart of another person, but don't cloak yourself in God we trust when you just say, well, I'll make bad decisions every day of my life and God will cover it. Well, maybe in the grand scheme of things, you should go check yourself. Maybe. Go check yourself. So, as we reflect on these themes of mercy and justice, I think we need to remember that our faith calls us to a higher standard, one where justice and mercy are not at odds, but in harmony with each other. Let's take that inspiration from the divine model of atonement and reconciliation, seeking to apply these principles in our lives and our legal practices. Thanks for joining me today on Micah's Call. Let us go forward with a commitment to being agents of mercy and justice in the world. Stay blessed, stay inspired, and keep challenging and asking the hard questions.